Welcome to Chic Perspectives. I'm Elizabeth Gordon. Thanks for tuning in. We've got a great roundtable discussion here with two fabulous female entrepreneurs. And I am pleased to bring you into the studio with us today. Of course, I've got Dana Barrett over there as my producer. How are you doing today, Dana?
I'm doing well now that I've had lunch.
Are you ready for a hot squeeze and a little bit of dancing?
Well,
that's what we've got on tap.
Like that, yes, I am ready for all of that. A hot squeeze and a little bit of dancing. I like it.
So Sue Sullivan is with us, who's the president of Hot Squeeze, the Hot Squeeze. Welcome, Sue. Tell us just briefly about the company, and obviously we'll go into a little bit more detail in a minute.
I'm sure everybody's wondering what Hot Squeeze is. I have a sauce company. I have two sauces on the market, a sweet heat chipotle and an orange ginger zing, and they're in a squeeze bottle, thus Hot Squeeze.
So the magic of marketing, really adding like a little excitement and zest to that.
Concept. You can have a lot of fun with the name Hot Squeeze.
I bet.
I'll say.
I bet. And speaking of fun, we also have Evan Galong in the studio, who owns Down South Swing. And welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So tell me briefly about Downtown Swing, because I have not, or Down South Swing, I have not yet been, but I read about it online and really want to find out more information.
Well, first of all, we have to remedy that. You have to come in and take some classes. Down South Swing is Atlanta's premier swing dance resource for vintage swing dancing. So that includes Lindy Hop, Charleston, Balboa, Collegiate Shag, Six Count Swing, I think I mentioned, and we teach everyone from adults to children and everything in between.
It's fantastic. And how long have you guys had the studio?
Well, I took it over in 2008, but it's been running here in Atlanta since, I believe, 2004.
Okay, awesome. Now, what was your background, Evan?
Well, I've been dancing this style of dance since 1997, and before that I was in theater and some movement and various things like that, but really this was my first foray into teaching or movement or anything starting in 1997. It wasn't like this lifelong dream to be a dancer. It kind of popped its head up, and I went, oh my God, you're it. So
nice.
It's surprising.
It's amazing how those opportunities hit you and you realize, wow, this is my thing.
Yeah,
now, very Sue, surprising. How about for you? Tell me a little bit about the backstory around Hot
Squeeze. Well, and I'm kind of laughing at Evan because I'm thinking that it is a little the same. I had a catering company here in Atlanta for 14 years, and I had not thought at all about having a food company, food business. So I had made this sauce years and years ago, and everybody kept saying, you should bottle it. And I kept looking at them like they were fools because I had a busy catering business and I didn't know anything about putting a product in a bottle, and why would I do that? And I just made it this New Year's resolution to try to figure out how to put it into a bottle. And, you know, it took a good 10 months of me trying to figure out all the different pieces of it, a label and a name and a co-packer and yada, yada, yada. And, but I finally put it in a bottle, and I got picked up by Whole Foods right away. And so all of a sudden I found I was in the business.
Hold on. You can't just, that's a big jump.
Yeah. Yes, it is a big jump. There are a few steps in between that, but I mean, and the steps are, I had been invited to go off to the Fancy Food Show, which is, if you own a food company, that is kind of that's the Cadillac of shows. So I had gone off to New York, but I had my product in this prototype bottle, and I sampled it out and to all these various people who I didn't understand what a distributor was or a broker was or any of the people in the game. And so I sampled it out, and I apparently sampled it out to the buyer for Whole Foods. And so that's
done and
how
done. Right. Done and done.
Done and done.
So tell us about the intricacies of the sauce itself, because it's extremely versatile because there's all these different things that people use it for. It's not just like a barbecue sauce.
Right.
So what are the flavors?
I call these sauces the sauces for every type of cook. You can do everything with them. I have called them magic in a bottle. The sweet heat chipotle, which is the original, is the flavor sweet, smoky, and then you get this kick of heat towards the back. And you do everything with it. we call it adult ketchup. It goes on every kind of meat. You can use it as a grilling sauce. You can use it as a marinade. It goes on sandwiches. It flavors foods. It goes on your leftovers.
Sounds like something that you need to have in
your
fridge.
Everybody. And the best part is you don't need to refrigerate these sauces.
You're so kidding. Really?
Yeah. I mean, they're magic in a bottle.
Wow.
Then last spring I came out with orange ginger zing. And that one is this really fresh, you have to be a ginger lover for this one, but orange and this zesty ginger. And that one stir fries. It's fabulous for fish and shrimp. You use it as a salad dressing. I put it on my yogurt in the morning. So, again, you do everything with them. And I have a new flavor that I have just come up with that will be the next flavor.
So there's more to come.
There is
Stay
more
tuned.
To come. Yes.
Now, mixing up sauces, was this something that you had done just personally as, you know, the cook of family kind of thing on the side?
Well,
for a while,
you know, I am a food person. I mean, I had a catering business. I have always been around food. I love food. And I am one of those cooks that I just create. I do not follow recipes. And so, you know, these flavors come to me. I don't know. They come. Like the orange ginger, I'm a ginger lover, and I just came up with the combination. This next one is, I'll tell it here, but not a lot of people know this. It's an ancho chili cherry, and it's phenomenal.
Wow.
That mm-hmm. sounds really different.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. So once we've eaten all of our squeeze sauce, we need to head over and dance off some calories. Actually, I should say these are very healthy.
Yes.
And they're all natural, low sodium.
Uh-huh. No fat free. Yes.
I'm over here reading the ingredients and it's all natural. It's yes. awesome sounding. It's,
right. That's why it's a Whole Foods product. But, you know, it is absolutely a Whole Foods product, but it's one of those products, like, kids love this sauce. So it's a Whole Foods sauce product, but it's also, I mean, it's
kid-friendly.
It's kid-friendly. I have a good friend.
Not like giving your kid a rice cake or
right,
something.
Right. But, I mean, I have a friend who is a part of that Pitmasters barbecue challenge show that's on television. And, I mean, Rob is this big, hulking competition barbecue guy, and this is his secret ingredient. So,
nice.
I mean, it really
nice.
Kind of...
Did you just give away his secret on the radio?
He still loves me.
Okay.
Well, so what, I mean, as you look at growing the business, going forward, innovating new sauce ideas, recipes, are you also looking at getting distribution into other stores, or what are some of the things that are on the horizon as far as the business aspects?
Well, a lot, and a lot all at once right now. I've got great distribution on it, and it's in grocery chains up in the Northeast. I have it. I mean, it can be found across the country. It's up in Canada. So I've got great distribution on it. What I'm facing now is that the company grew really quickly, and you know, as I say, I kind of fell into it, and I didn't start as many people do with the business plan and the direction that I was supposed to go in. And so now I have kind of backtracked and I've got my business plan and my financial plan, and I am out there seeking investment money so that I can really take this business and push it to the extreme. And the extreme is that there are other product line, you know, that there are other flavors in it, and then that the distribution grows. I mean, that it really can be found in Publix and in Kroger and in every grocery chain.
Right. Well, with a brand name like that, that's already mm-hmm. got such a good, you know, brand equity about
right.
it.
Right.
There's a lot, you can see the potential for
yes.
the business to really
absolutely.
Get to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this morning we were just talking about getting investments in Atlanta startup companies.
We were indeed.
Wow. We'll invite you up back on next
yes,
time when we've
please,
got a panel
because this
of
is my
venture capitalists.
This is my new
here.
Life. I've been talking to a bunch of those guys lately. So
well, that really does shift the role of a CEO when you start looking for outside money.
Absolutely.
it takes a lot of the focus in a different direction.
It is a full-time job looking
That's
for that,
what
too.
I've heard.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've got a great story to tell, so well, I can see why you're getting a lot of people to the table to have that conversation.
Well, thank you.
So, dancing. I'm switching gears here to Down South Swing, and I want to know more about your story, Evan, as far as obviously you took over the business. What were there changes that needed to be made when you took over ownership? How did you like envision making it your studio for dance?
Well, I had been teaching in Chicago before I moved here. And when I started to have a family, I decided to back off and just teach, not run a business. I had never been a business person anyway, so it was a big load off my shoulders and I could just focus on the fun part for me. And when we moved down here, I had actually gone to culinary school and I was planning on maybe having the 10-year plan of opening a restaurant. And I got here and there was a dwindling. There was a kind of stagnant dance scene, and dance was still very much a part of my life. I loved going out dancing, and some of the people running Down South Swing asked me to teach a class there, and I had not planned on teaching or anything. They signed me up to teach this one class, and the advertisement or lack thereof was so in the back of their minds that there were no students in the class. And I got there and I was very disappointed because I do love teaching and I had carved out this part of my day for that. And so after a couple months of backing and forthing with them, I asked them if they might want me to help them run it since I had done it before, but I wasn't interested in taking it over. And over the next couple weeks, I kind of was handed the entire thing in a lump of papers.
And you're the best qualified person in the room to have it.
and it was like receiving, you can imagine like a manila folder filled with just like every kind of paper that you can think of in total disorder. That's what it was like getting it in my lap. And I was overwhelmed, excited, freaked out. And
absolutely.
Yeah. And again, I had never been a business person and I had run the company in Chicago kind of like a hobby. It didn't matter if we made a whole lot of money. It was just, it was fun. And so I had to quickly learn how to get this company back on its feet because there was literally no capital. They were completely in the red. And they had no plan and no focus, goal, unified idea, anything. It was just a whole bunch of people occasionally teaching classes. And so,
yikes.
Yeah.
So it was quite a project.
It was a big project. So I kind of called all the instructors together and talked about creating a pay scale and creating a syllabus for every class and things like this that would make it more cohesive. And some people loved it. Some people didn't. They went off on their own. And that was fine. Competition makes the market better. So unfortunately, they moved away. I really liked having, this drive.
Right there,
it's like always right there to keep you motivated. But we branched out into doing children's classes. And this past year, I did that with homeschool kids. It was amazing. And we've worked on creating a couple of national workshops for different styles of dance. We've worked on creating a couple of dances, like social dances, a few times a month. And it's just kind of grown. I've given everyone a little bit more responsibility for their classes while giving them more structure from the center. So it's been a nice process with a bunch of creative people who have a lot to offer.
Right. But need that good operational infrastructure.
Absolutely.
To keep the business
absolutely
running.
Yeah.
So if I was like somebody that had never done like real dancing other than just, shaking my booty on the dance floor.
Hey, that's real dancing. Let me tell you what, that is real dancing.
what would be a good way to like enter into the fray of learning dance? Like what's a good beginner level or like a path that people take to get more comfortable?
Well, it's nice. We have in Atlanta a couple nights a week when you can go and get free intro lessons, which is a great way to just get your feet wet, see if you like it. On Monday nights, there's a dance called Hot Jam. It's at Garden Hills Community Center, and they have a free lesson at 8. It's from 8 to 8:30. And then I teach a free lesson at Graveyard Tavern on Wednesdays at 8 o'clock, and then they have live music afterwards. And
fun.
These are, yeah, great ways to get your feet wet. Sometimes it's a little intimidating to just walk into a class that you've paid for 4 weeks and not know where
right.
you're going to be.
So right. Where's yeah. the skill level of everybody right. else going to be?
Exactly. Exactly. So people should be warned when they come out that the beginner dance is, or the beginner lesson is for novices, complete beginners. All you need to know how to do is walk. But when people start dancing, you'll see all levels from rank beginners, just like you, to instructors. So don't be intimidated of the skill level. Everyone's there to have fun. And I always remind everyone that everyone was a beginner at one point. So, and then we have four-week classes that start with Swing 101. Again, you don't need any experience. And they go through, you know, advanced aerials, everything in between. So we recommend starting with the monthly classes and then working your way toward the workshops and specialty classes.
So I was over here like pushing buttons and producing, and I may have missed this, but do you have to have a partner?
Absolutely
That's
not.
What I was wondering.
No partner, no experience, no special equipment. You just.
What if you're like
just
way
your
more.
2 feet.
What
just
if you have a potential partner, but you think that they might not be that great of a dancer?
Hey, we.
And you might be, like comparatively. I'm just saying. I'm not. Nobody in particular in mind.
Awkward.
I'm just wondering.
Well, we rotate partners in our group classes.
Okay.
So, You each will have a chance to progress at your own rate.
Okay.
And one of the things that's great about that, sometimes couples come in and they're a little intimidated about rotating because they came with their significant other.
Right.
And we always tell people it's a great opportunity because you say goodbye to your sweetie, they come around the circle, you get back to them, and you get to say, oh, baby, you're the best one here.
Whether it's true or not.
That's right. A little white lie, never hurt anyone, right? But yeah, it's a great opportunity to meet new friends, to practice a new skill that you will keep forever. I mean, one of my favorite couples is a couple that comes out on Wednesdays. He just celebrated his 81st birthday. You would never know it. He's just spry as can be. He dances with everyone. His wife is, I believe, in her 70s, and they're just as young as ever because of dancing.
Now, you said there's a whole bunch of different styles. Now, in the beginner class, do you focus on one style?
One style. We focus on one style in Swing 101, that's six-count swing. And then in Lindy 101, we focus on one style, and that's Lindy Hop, which is an eight-count swing. And then from there, we kind of pull them all together.
Okay.
I wish you could demonstrate.
I know.
Dance on the radio is so hard.
I know. It is tough. I'm all visual here.
I know, we need to switch to video for this show.
Right.
And we need to have like taste somehow, like taste smell radio for
Scratch-O-Vision.
Scratch and sniff something. Yeah, mm-hmm. For the hot sauce. Totally.
So as two business owners, I'm curious what you both have found to be like the most surprising aspect of having your own company. Was it what you thought it was when you were first got started in it, or have there been some surprises along the way and maybe some good lessons learned as well?
Well, it's definitely not what I thought it would be. It's way harder.
It's hard.
But it's way more rewarding than I thought to.
It takes a ton of time. Mm. I mean, it becomes your life because, I mean, at least for me, you think about it. If you're not actually working, you're thinking about it. It is your life. And, you know, I left catering, and what I'm doing now, I say, is 10 times harder than catering, and catering is not an easy
catering's
job.
Pretty tough.
Right. So, but, you know, you have to wrap your brain around every single facet of running a business, and some of them are things that you're not happy to wrap your brain around. I mean, I think so many of us who are these entrepreneurs are more the creative types. I mean, I think we fall into it because we have a passion about something, and so we fall into it coming from the creative side, and we lack the formal business financial piece of it.
And exactly.
That piece is actually the most important piece. And so
right.
to flip-flop your mentality, and you have to. And I mean, I know personally, I am not a number girl. And I used to say to people, well, just talk numbers to me a lot, because maybe then that it'll start to sink in, or I'll absorb all this information. But, you know, I've come to realize it starts with those numbers.
Right. And really being able to understand them. And that takes some hard work.
And it takes hard work. It takes hard. If you're not that type of person, you have to train yourself to be that person.
Absolutely. Everything you said is how I feel. It's the hardest part of the job. It's the part that I hate the most, but you have to do. Mm-hmm. And it's taxing. It's really taxing. Right now, I'm in the process of working with a grant writer to get some funding for our children's programs. And it's like 1,000 times worse than just the regular business stuff.
Right.
Oh, my God. So, yeah, that's really, it's tough. And the sheer amount of time that it takes to be everything, to wear all the hats, you know, to design the website, to do the marketing, to run after the money.
Manage the people, all of it.
Every aspect of this is a full-time job. And to find all that time, you know. I kept on thinking about getting a part-time job to kind of supplement our income when I first started doing this again. And I was like,
Right.
Well, this is, I do the same thing. I kept thinking, well, maybe I need to start doing some catering just to bring in some more cash. And then thought, well,
Where am I going to have time for that?
You don't have time for any of these things. So it's,
and then there's the marketing involved with getting the catering job in the first place.
Yes, exactly. So I think that that is one of the things that I always say to people who are getting into this business, that you really have to understand all sides of it. And I mean, you know, my goal is to grow this company to the point where I can hire those people to do all those functions that I am not great at. Even at that point, when I reach that point, it's going to be really important that I know all those pieces and have a hand, you know, that I'm following.
Even
all
if
those
you
pieces
let go and, of the detail, you still have to know it and have the awareness.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So, you know, for me, that's the goal, that I can then, if I can hire people to do all those other pieces, I know what I'm really good at. I'm really good at the marketing piece of it, and that's where I want to be. But until then, I'm doing everything.
Yep. Have you had people ask you if you're interested in selling the company? Because I would think there'd be
my goal is to build it up to sell it off. I have no intentions to make this a family-run business. My children.
We're all out mixing sauce together.
Right. I think my children have spent enough time in the warehouse and have realized that they don't want to be running Hot Squeeze as their family business forever.
Rather sell it to Heinz.
Right.
And
exactly.
Well, so obviously it is tough. It is tough to be an entrepreneur. And I would imagine that you both meet people that look at you and say, oh my God, I would love to do what you do. I would love to own this dance studio. I would love to have this product. How fun would this be? Obviously, there's a good side, because that's why you keep going. So what are some of the benefits of doing, you know, being in total control of what happens in your company and really kind of your life on a day-to-day basis, because you're in the driver's seat of this business?
Yeah. Well, for me, one of the biggest payoffs is that I have had a hand in building this community of dancers. And I always tell people I like to build dancers that I want to dance with. And it's so gratifying to go out and see people, you know, filling these clubs. And I'm like, I taught these people. These are our students.
That's awesome.
It's an awesome feeling. And I love teaching. I love the process. I love seeing the light bulb go off for new students. I just had that happen the other day in class, where this guy who's been taking for like 6 months had such a powerful light bulb moment. And it was like the entire class got in on that energy, and it was very cool. And being able to travel and do this is really incredible. That's one of the biggest payoffs, biggest perks of my job. So, I mean, it balances it. I curse all the tough stuff, but I wouldn't have the good stuff without that. So,
right.
Yeah. I don't know if you feel like I do, but I mean, there have been very few occasions that I've said, what am I doing?
Right.
I mean, and believe me, the challenges are huge. the challenges are huge, but I still love what I'm doing.
And you don't question it. You know that
right.
This is what I'm doing, and it's the right thing for me to be doing, and I'm doing a pretty good job at it.
That's right. Yeah. Definitely. And we have the benefit of getting feedback. We ask for people to fill out feedback forms at the end of our classes. And that's another just immediate gratification. You get to hear what people are saying about your class and their feedback to you. And so often it's so shining and positive that, you know, it warms your heart and it makes you feel like, I'm getting through, and these people are having a good time and it's enriching their life. So
that's neat. Yeah. Now, since you didn't know a lot of what you were getting yourself into at the beginning, I imagine you've also had some mentors in your life or other business people that you've met along the way that have given you some good advice. Talk a little bit about the role that other people have played in learning and continuing to grow and succeed.
Well, I know for me, I mean, you know, I told you in the beginning of this show that I got into this by going off to this fancy food show, and I had been invited to go by a friend who had a food company at the time and who really did mentor me all the way through the process. So he was a great help and still is a great help for me today. You know, it's a person that gives me a lot of feedback, who is, you know, looking for investment money for me at this point. So, and I have met along the way the most amazing people who are also in the food business. And again, I mean, I think that that's one of the great things about having your own business is you really do get out there and you network with people and you meet people. So I've been very fortunate because I have had people who have helped me all along. And in the food business, I don't know if it happens in any other industry, but people who own food companies are so willing to help each other. So in turn, people, I talk with people all the time who want to start a food company. And I am happy to give them resources, to give them names. So it's a going forward, passing along kind of mentality, and it works in this industry. So, and I think you must feel the same way about passing on the dancers, you know, teaching the dancers, and when they are going to move on to their next spot. I mean, you had a hand in that.
Absolutely. I've had, as of last count, about 5 students who have become international teachers. So, I mean, it's so amazing to feel that and to have that pride watching them go and teach and stuff.
Absolutely.
It's very, very cool. And I just, about your industry, it's such a male-dominated industry. Uh-huh. It's so awesome to see women really taking a leadership role in it. So that's nice.
Yeah, and doing something different with a unique concept of what is important to
and
women.
I have to say, it is a very male-dominated industry, and it's been pretty funny because, you know, me going out there with hot squeeze.
Exactly.
Right.
Uh-huh. Dare to be That's different. So is what we like to say here on the Chic Perspective.
She will be remembered.
Right. Well, and the marketing, I think, is a huge aspect of it, probably bigger than you originally think of in understanding how the business is going to flow and just how important that marketing engine is.
And how much I've had to change my perspective on marketing too, because when I started teaching in 97, it was all about the flyers and, you know, emails and stuff like that. And I still use an email marketing resource, but it's all about the social media now. And I have to constantly be on Twitter and Facebook and all this. And that's hard for me to keep up with because
it's another one of those.
Yes, yet another thing. Uh-huh. And so that's been really interesting. I think in my experience, though, with the mentors, my teaching staff has been really a great resource for inspiration. And although maybe not the strictest definition of mentoring, they have taught me a lot in terms of what they find important when they go out traveling for dancing, what they bring back with them. We all kind of mentor each other in terms of our skill set and keeping on top of our industry. But I actually, because I am not naturally a business person. One of my biggest mentors has been a friend that ran a studio or runs a studio in Chicago that I worked for a little while after I stopped running my own business. And she is such a business person. It's unbelievable. I've never seen anyone quite as seriously focused as her. And so I will constantly email her now. And what's your idea on this? Can I tap your brain and give me some insight? And then another woman actually who is in the same industry in Chicago, who is one of the most creative people I know in the world. She's kind of my mentor for keeping my creative juices flowing. So I've got a couple of great people to
because you're wearing so many hats, it's so important to also have a lot of resources and go-to people on your team.
Yes.
And build that team. Well, ladies, it's been a real pleasure finding out about your companies and the entrepreneurial spirit here in Atlanta, Georgia. I want to make sure everybody knows where to go buy some Hot Squeeze or find out more information. They can go to Whole Foods, but we want to send them to the website too, right?
Right. So the website is www.thehotsqueeze. And the is kind of important in the Hot Squeeze part.
Where do you end up if you just go? Well, if you leave out the
"the"? You can check. Actually, no. It's gotten a lot better. But when I did start out, it took you straight to porn.
Nice. Well, you give your customers a little extra thrill.
There you go. Right. Or get them in trouble, or I don't know.
Whatever. So,
but it's www.thehotsqueeze.com. And locally in Atlanta, you can get it at all the Whole Foods. You can get it at Cook's Warehouse. And there are a number of specialty accounts that you can get it at as well. And as I say to everybody, if you want it in your Publix, go to tell your Publix store manager to bring in a Hot Squeeze.
There you go. Excellent. Well, I can't wait to get some and try it all over everything.
Good. You got it.
And then go dancing.
That's you can take your main squeeze after feeding them Hot Squeeze. We are at www.downsouthswing.com. And we're teaching out of Core Studio, which is in downtown Decatur. That's at 139 Sycamore. I think that's all.
And people can get, there's the schedule. They can go online and see what classes you're offering.
Exactly.
Or when they can do some of these regular
weekly
dances.
We also have
links
to the dances, and to our children's program. And we also have a workshop coming up in 2 weeks for blues dancing, which is very cool. We've got some international teachers coming in for that. That's a separate website, actually. It's sweetgeorgiablues.com. So you can check that out also for a little slow dancing. Speaking of Hot Squeeze.
Very cool.
I love it. Thank you both. It's been a pleasure having you on the Chic Perspective Show.
Thank you for having us.
Evan Galang. This is Elizabeth Gordon signing off from businessradiox.com. We'll talk to you soon.